Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 216. We'll keep this one a little shorter than the last one. We know you enjoyed our four-hour diatribe about Batman v Superman.
It was only 2.5.
Okay.
And they came back for this one, then they can't complain.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Well, even then, it was 215. They've been here that long. I mean,
How many people have actually listened to all 215? I mean, I have only because I participated in like 205, and I probably listened to the other 10 just to go, oh God.
Well, the last one, because you wanted to make sure I didn't say anything bleepable.
Right.
Every time you've listened to one, you've texted me and said, oh, this is actually kind of enjoyable.
Yeah, just about 10 minutes on porn theater etiquette.
Why did you bring it up again?
Just because I can't believe you guys did that. So I want to remind you that was bad.
This podcast is kind of enjoyable.
7 minutes is the most you're allowed to talk about porn theater etiquette.
Yes.
Can you put that description in iTunes?
Kind of enjoyable.
Yeah.
I'll see. I don't really actually know how most of that stuff gets in iTunes, but.
Magic.
Exactly. No, you're right.
I think it's all through your FeedBurner account.
Yeah. It does, yeah.
Eh, way to kill an hour or two. Still better than the results DC gets.
Oh, man.
What's our score on Rotten Tomatoes?
I don't know. I haven't seen it. We do have a couple reviews, though. So. It's okay to listen to on a long drive if you got nothing else to do.
Leave us reviews. It helps us do better, and it helps with visibility in iTunes.
It lets us know somebody's listening.
Yeah, it helps us do better. I mean, I don't think any of us are going to change.
Because Adam's going to step up his game. No.
What depends?
Adam came prepared a couple weeks ago. He had notes and a book and everything. He was.
I don't know.
You did.
I did.
Okay. I complimented you to him the other day. I said, whenever Adam runs the podcast, he is pretty prepared and does a really good job.
Yep. That's the rest of the time he slacks.
Yeah.
Maybe you should just make him in charge.
Yeah.
That might be the seventh sign.
Yes.
See, his sign is right after the trumpets, then Adam's in charge, and it's like, ah.
I actually like that. That's pretty
good. Damn it, isn't it time to be raptured?
Yeah.
Hey,
hold
the
podcast. No.
We haven't introduced ourselves yet.
I know. I was just about to, and then I'm like, wait, raptured? What?
Well, you thought about the porn theater before even saying who you were.
I'm sorry. Well, I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Josh,
Dave,
Pat,
Adam.
The usual crew. As always, open invitation to come down. Matt was here a good bit yesterday. He was kind of hanging out, and I'm like, why don't you come onto the podcast? And he's like, no.
Which Matt?
Matt Thomas. He's like, no, you guys are way too... No, he just...
You guys actually complimented us.
He said that our reviews have gotten better.
Yeah, I mean, he's checking stuff out based on our reviews.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so I'm going to have a lot of people in for those two books I read from last year.
They were pretty bad before.
Yeah, well, yeah. So just quick question. You guys can't see this, but I'm looking at Josh has his Comixology thing up. Mm-hmm. Does that mean through the entire Comixology system, only 91 people had a poll for Suiciders?
I think so.
Wow.
But probably not a ton of people use it.
No, that's true. Well, I'm looking. Some of these have 4,000.
Yeah.
But that's, then again, only, you know. So I'm going to say not a lot of people are using Comixology.
The interesting thing...
Don't know if it's worth my $30 a month investment.
It is, because Pat and I use it. Okay. So that makes it work.
I'll start passing that fee along through your purchase.
It's fine.
With as much as you already purchased, I thought it was.
I mean, I saved...
You could take it out of the 25%. Today, so. That's right. I didn't get my 25% off, so...
Add it right now.
The sale will never be run again.
Why? The sale is fantastic.
Not because of you, just in general.
Oh, but there's on W, people buy Walking Dead trades?
Well, because the things you were trying to clear out didn't move.
Well, not so much that, but just people can't understand the board. They still don't understand the board. They do not understand what that says.
Okay.
Graphic novel, alphabet
25%
sale.
Off all graphic novels starting with Jew.
Yeah, no. Yeah. So I'm like, I should have done one. If I had done one of those, no.
Okay. Colin, do you know how dumb the average person is?
I know, but
just stay with me here. Mm-hmm. You know how dumb the average person is. Realize that in order for that to be the average, half the world has to be dumber than that.
Okay. And but go. Next time I'll just have to do just one letter. I mean, I think it was probably the two letters threw everybody off. But it seemed the easiest way to do it, especially when I had 13 weeks I wanted to run it.
Yeah, that worked perfect.
I don't understand what's so difficult about it.
Otherwise, you got to run it for half.
But they don't. They don't understand. They think it's J through W, or it has to have J and W in the title.
Nothing there is a symbol for through.
I know. I tried. Well, I had to stop doing. What was it?
You were doing the ampersands.
Yeah, and then I was writing out the word, but there was one a few weeks ago where it was like hand something. It would have been too confusing. So I've tried ampersands. I've tried pluses. I've tried.
How about or?
I feel like this.
No, that was the problem.
Because
it
would
be an
H-O-R.
Yeah, and whatever the other letter was. Yeah, and it was just one of those.
I feel like this is an assault to social experiment.
Yeah. I wasn't planning it to be one, but
you should write a thesis.
Yeah, no, I have no desire to.
Then you could be a real doctor.
Oh,
just like your wife.
You know, if Sandy was listening to this, she'd be cracking up.
Yes, tears running down her face. Yeah.
Tears of joy.
No, through the old thing. Why am I listening to this? I'd rather turn off the radio. Okay, Pat. Was there any news? Now, to be fair. Image Expo made a ton of announcements this afternoon, but timing-wise is poor.
Yeah.
And I was flipping through it. Nothing really... I didn't see anything all that exciting.
No, I looked like right before we started.
A new Brubaker Phillips series.
But there wasn't... Yeah, there wasn't a lot of things that just stood out. Like, oh my God, this is amazing.
No, like there's a Hickman has a new one. I'm like, oh, are you going to finish any of your other ones? Hey, how's that... I don't remember the name of it anymore.
East of West?
Dying and the Dead. Yeah, what happened to that? What happened to Secret? You know, so
did he finish that Manhattan Project spin-off?
No. So seeing him with a new book, I'm just like, really? Great. Thanks.
Getting a little disappointed with Image.
Maybe we get some more Bendis stuff that never ends, like Scarlet and United States of Murder. Yay.
Because their quality is there. It's just this
what?
Is the
brilliant, yes. Yes.
See, I don't mind the 6-month delay. Yeah. Beyond that, yeah, but the 6-month delay, I don't mind. I know what your argument is with it, and that's fine, but...
No, I can show you numbers. My sales cut in half.
No, I get it. I completely get your argument with it from a retailer standpoint. From a reader standpoint, I don't mind the 6-month delay.
The only thing about the delay, at least, usually with an arc, so you can...
Maybe.
At least, yeah, maybe. That's why I said usually it ends with an arc sometimes. Like Ringside ended.
Yeah, I don't mind it if it ends that way.
It certainly does.
I don't know how Southern Bastards has done that. Like if it's,
I don't know because the Volume 3 trade doesn't come out until like June or July.
Yeah. When's the last time we had an issue though?
What the heck?
It's been a while.
Yeah. I want this book.
I do too. That's a fun book.
You got a bash in the skull.
Ringside's coming back in 2 months though, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But.
I mean, maybe they could do a shorter delay, like 3 months to 6 months.
Yeah, I think that would be a little better, but...
But I get why they want to do a delay, so that way... That's not the only thing they're doing.
Yeah.
Well, because, I mean, the writer can
We have witches, which is...
The writer can do multiple things, but the artist would be just on that book and nothing else if they didn't have any sort of break in there.
Yeah. So anyway,
plus
yes,
easy to trade.
There was some news. Yep. Not much, though.
It sounds somber. Is it bad news?
No, not bad news. Not good news, though.
Oh, no.
Who died,
though? No one... Well, actually, people did. Merle Haggard died today.
Yeah,
I saw that. He was 79, though, so I think that's under your...
Your little cartoon character looks a little weird.
Although...
he put the smile on it.
Not the one you posted. The one picture of me
angry.
Going,
oh. He was mad.
I have nothing to do with that.
He was angry.
That was Adam's great work
cartoon,
contribution
your
yesterday.
Your cartoon had more gray hair than you do.
Again, he made it.
Anyway, the voice of Admiral Akbar died.
Yeah.
I know.
But he was 90-something.
Yeah, he was 93.
So,
he
been dead.
Yeah.
It wasn't a trap, though.
No,
don't worry.
It's a trap. That's what he'll forever be known. Could you imagine?
It's not a trap.
Could you imagine that, though? I've been an actor for 70 years. I've won Oscars and Tonys, and I'm, you know, all. And he will forever be known for It's a Trap.
It's the voice that launched a thousand memes.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, there's several actors that fall into that category.
No, I know, but that's.
Sir Alec Guinness, always just known as Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
Virgil and River.
I was going to say that one too.
Most people would just
okay. Okay. Okay.
You'd
yeah.
watch Virgil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even Peter Cushing.
He did all those old Hammer films.
Yeah.
That's where he's really.
Terrence Stamp.
Zod.
General Zod.
Yeah.
That's true. And he's been in everything, but yeah, Neil before Zod. That's
General Zod.
Okay, that's true. Steven Seagal plays the same guy in every damn movie.
Yeah, Steven Seagal.
Slightly less douchier version,
perhaps. Do you think that throughout the years his character got douchier or less douchey?
That's really hard to say, with the exception of Under Siege. That one is completely different than everything else he played.
Well, they had Erica Laniak in her prime.
Yeah, that's true.
More Steven Seagal knowledge than I would ever want to know in my life.
I've seen, like, all his movies.
So fast. I just don't know any of these
I mean, there was a point in my life where I thought,
Deck would say,
great.
All offense.
You know what happens? I'll watch a Steven Seagal movie, like, midway, it'll be on TV.
You'll
I'll just assume
it's
the same movie. I've been watching it for ever.
Pretty much is. It's like, you can time it, or 45 minutes in, yep, there goes the arm. So, yeah. Next week, we're supposed to get a trailer for Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow, apparently, we're going to get the trailer for Star Wars Rogue One.
Yeah.
Which, there's a pre-trailer that Dave showed us. It was 9 seconds, mostly blank screen. And then there was a shot of a stormtrooper in, I guess it was black armor.
That was a TIE fighter armor, right?
Yeah,
no, it was different.
Something we haven't seen before.
Oh, I thought it was a TIE armor.
It was almost like a Captain Phasma and the TIE fighter armor. Like somewhere, it was kind of like a cross between.
Do we
that.
Know, like, I haven't looked into too much of this movie. Do we know when it's taking place in that timeline?
Yeah, prior to the episodes, episode 4, it's supposed to be they're stealing the plans of the original Death Star.
Okay. So. Okay, I get that. I didn't know Forrest Whitaker was in this movie.
There's a lot.
I saw that today.
He was in the pictures.
Was he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen too much about this movie.
Suicide Squad is doing some reshoots.
Suicide Squad, Shane.
Or are they? Or is that just rumor?
No, they
are.
It was actually confirmed today that they're doing it. I guess they want to add more humor to the movie.
After...
What I heard, and you know, who knows if this is true, but what I heard was all the jokes in the movie were in the trailer. The rest is like really dark and serious. Uh-huh. And then based on the backlash from Batman vs. Superman, they said, let's put some jokes in it.
To be fair, I think they started the reshoots before the movie came out, though.
A lot of the success.
I think
it
got a lot of press after the movie came out.
Yeah.
But
Deadpool successes is affecting this also.
I like the trailer for that movie.
I do too.
But here's the thing: it was surprising to hear that them say that all the jokes are in the trailer, because the trailer, even like the text, they played up the goofy aspect of it, like worst heroes ever.
Yeah.
So it surprised me that they would show that and have a super serious movie.
And look, Will Smith is not my favorite actor, but he is charismatic and can pull off that comic action type. Thing. So why would you not, like, why would you cast him as that character to not do that?
I agree. Right. Yeah, if you're going to use him to his potential. I think he's trying to kind of rebrand himself after, because his movies have been just horrible.
We chose to do
Wiki,
wow. Independence Day.
Wild Wild West? Wild Wild West is a favorite, but... But I mean, even when he did that movie with his son about, like, the... He was on, like, the planet. It turned out it was, like, Earth or something.
I didn't see that. That was
really that bad. Was M. Night Shyamalan, too.
Yeah.
So who was really at fault there?
Well, yeah. But it was, it was bad. He's been in a few.
He has. Everybody gets one, so.
I feel like I've only seen one good M. Night Shyamalan movie.
The Sixth Sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was it?
Some people say there are other good ones.
I like Signs and Unbreakable.
Unbreakable up
that's
until
true.
The end.
I did like Unbreakable.
Oh, yeah,
I flipped out at the end and started kicking stuff and cursing at the screen.
Because
the first time I saw it was we were at my in-law's house. I'm like,
I don't remember.
This is
robot being on that movie. Oh.
He was involved in Wayward Pines last year, too, and that was really good. That's coming back for a second season.
Signs was
so
okay.
You mean Avengers Standoff?
Okay, I mean sorry. Avengers Standoff,
Wasn't Signs the one where it's aliens and they come to a planet that's 75% water, but
yeah,
water
they're not water fans.
Yeah.
And what was The Village?
The Village.
Yeah. I never saw that one, but people were telling me not that long ago it was okay.
It was all right.
So I've never really been like, oh, I'm going to go see that, because I haven't got good reviews about it at all.
It just had a dumb twist to it.
Yeah.
But Avatar was pretty bad.
I never really. What was the one with Mark Wahlberg?
Avatar?
No.
Yeah. Glass Airbender?
Oh, I was like, Avatar, the last... James Cameron.
No,
Cameron.
Not
Avatar.
No.
They called it the Last Airbender.
For the confusion with that movie, they called it The Last Airbender, yeah.
Which, I mean, that was the name of the show, but yeah, even there, it was four seasons of the show, and each season he tried to do a different, like, he was an airbender, he became a waterbender, and a earthbender, and a firebender. And they try to cram it all into one movie, and it's like, this just doesn't work.
What was the Mark Wahlberg?
The Happening? Was it called The Happening?
The Happening.
Yeah.
Did you see that one?
That was horrible, too.
That was where the plants were killing people?
Yes.
Yeah. That was a weird movie.
So.
Good night, Shyamalan played a lot bigger of a part in that movie, didn't he? Like, they picked him up.
I didn't see that one, so.
I haven't seen that for a long time. I forgot that existed, to tell you the truth. That's all.
Yeah. So did everybody else.
Yeah. Except for Dave, he brought it up.
Wonder Woman is that they changed the date on that one. They're,
by a few weeks.
Yeah, only by a few weeks. And then what I heard, what I saw was they have two more DC movies. But the weird thing was the list that I saw, Shazam was missing off that list.
So. It's either one's probably Green Lantern Corps.
No. That was already there.
No, it wasn't on the official list before. It was. They said it was. They were going to come out.
It was on the list that I saw.
They never had it dated.
Okay.
I don't think they ever had it dated.
I'll just do it.
I think they're kind of. I think jumping the gun on
the
a lot
Batman
of these movies.
Movie
like, we got a lot of information rumored. Like we have like Black Adam is going
to
be.
I
in
feel
it.
Like
these
if you
want to
have
Dwayne.
If you
want
to have two movies come out a year, you have to.
I guess, yeah, you have to put something out. It just feels like everything's kind of.
Three movies coming out.
It feels like we hear about it, and then we don't hear about anything for a while.
Well, but, you know, if they're announcing movies out to 2020, they're not going to film it until 2018.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
That's a lot of that, though. It's just a lot of these companies are just throwing stuff out way early. Like, but, you know, anymore, I guess they have to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I yeah.
This seems really odd sometimes.
I mean, they're just announcing, getting on the schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah, Green Lantern Corps has a date. It's June 19th, 2020.
Oh, okay.
But what is... Okay, so in August you have Suicide Squad. Next June you have Wonder Woman. And then in November, Justice League. In March 2018, The Flash. July, Aquaman. And October, one of the untitled ones. Then in June of 2019, you have Justice League. And then in November, you have another untitled one. And then in 2020, you have Cyborg in April and Green Lantern Corps in June. So Shazam's missing off that list that had been previously announced. And you got to figure Batman's got to be one of them.
Yeah.
So.
A happy, fun Batman, like everybody wants. Smiling Batman.
The last time we did that, he was running around with a bomb over his head.
That's what people want, because that would be
like,
funny.
I don't think a lot of people were saying they wanted a happy Batman.
No, but just DC movies are too dark.
Well, yeah, I don't think Batman was the problem.
I get what you're saying about it sometimes, though, that it had no... It could have had some feeling to it when you were watching. You could have felt for something.
You should have at least cared about the characters.
Yeah. They do need to change that a lot. They need to think
and that. And for them to do, which...
I hope they do another origin.
For them to do... For them to do Death of Superman... Superman's death should mean something.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like in this
I feel
current,
like only one character like cared doesn't. About it at all, but he didn't really care that much about it. It was Batman. When he was sitting there, he was just like, oh,
he was
I
just
failed
like,
him. And
yeah.
Was,
yeah.
He was just like, let's bury him. Let's
but,
go.
Yeah, but that's just, you know, that's my fear for Civil War. If they have Spider-Man unmasked, it doesn't mean anything. Because he hasn't been... You know, in the comic books, when Spider-Man unmasked, he had been Spider-Man for years. It meant something.
Yeah.
But you know, I agree. You know, you can't have Superman.
Unless maybe they just don't unmask him in this movie.
They won't.
No, and yeah, I hope that they don't. I mean, and certainly they're not following the same,
they gotta make a movie
the same pattern. But kind of along the same line. That's why Superman's death didn't mean anything. He wasn't Superman that long.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he was Superman for 18 months.
Yeah.
And then,
All he'll have to do is fly around the Earth a bunch of times and reverse it.
How can he if he's the one in the casket?
The dirt.
The dirt.
The
levitated.
Dirt. Yeah.
He's already burrowing to the Fortress of Solitude.
That's
fine.
He'll give everybody a kiss.
Oh, okay.
They're gonna recast him as Nicolas Cage. It's gonna be sweet. It's gonna be awesome.
It's like he's reborn. It's like he regenerated or something.
Got the long
like
hair from the regeneration process.
Nice.
It'll be awesome.
And he'll be cracking jokes.
He'll be fighting polar bears.
Big spider.
I still gotta see this movie.
The documentary?
Yeah.
It's fantastic. It's
no, really, I mean the actual movie. I can't.
I think the actual movie, if they did the things like that Kevin Smith and Burton wanted to do, not what the other wacky guy wanted to do, but I think it would have been an off the wall but very
enjoyable.
Fun, enjoyable.
I think it could
movie.
Fit into what was already coming out, like with Batman, before it and stuff. It would have had a good feel that people would have accepted it a lot better than. Today, I don't think they'd accept that.
Well, no, not today.
No.
People get too butthurt about things today.
Yep.
The internet. Thanks, internet. Get off my lawn.
The internet makes your butt hurt.
Yes.
Moving on.
Is that the title?
No.
The internet makes your butt hurt.
Note to self.
Apparently, on Flash, they're going to bring Katie Cassidy on as Black Siren, the Earth 2 version of Black Canary.
Some probably said, we don't have any bad actors on this show. Let's get Katie Cassidy
on. Get one for her.
Yeah, but they do, because was it Candace Patton?
I don't think she's bad. She has some bad dialogue sometimes, but I don't think she's a bad actress.
When they had her on Earth 2, where she was the police captain, I thought she was good. But when she's Irish back in
they just give her whiny lines sometimes. I think it's the writer's problem. Whereas Katie Cassidy, I feel like she just doesn't have great delivery.
Yeah.
Well, her best acting job isn't Taken.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's that. And the other thing, it's rumored, and at this point it's just a rumor, that the title for the Spider-Man movie is going to be Homecoming. Although I saw a little bit today where apparently Sony actually had trademarked like 5 different URLs. Originally it was just that one, and then there were other ones.
Now it's taking place entirely in that evening. So they'll do the football game, then Homecoming dance, and
yeah.
That's it. That's all it's doing. Maybe the parade.
I mean, they said they're taking back to high school.
Yeah.
That's all it's going to be about. Spider-Man's already in it. Just
next one will be Spider-Man prom.
Spider-Man. Awkward conversation with Uncle
Spider-Man,
Ben.
Third base.
Spider-Man, Sadie Hawkins.
All right, that's all I got.
That's all you got?
Yeah.
Holy
you
cow,
got
this
more?
Is going to be a... No.
Oh.
No,
where's your rant?
Do you want us to go longer?
No, I'm just saying.
Here's the problem with comics these days.
Comic people! No, I've just been talking with Jermaine.
They're not like the good old days anymore.
Butthurt, yeah. You want that to be the title of the podcast?
No, I asked you. I said, they get butthurt, don't they? Comic people.
Yeah. I don't know. Everybody loves everything online. Everybody hates everything online. And then you look at the sales numbers. You know, like Suiciders. 91 people reading that. Yeah.
Well, 91 people pulled it off Comixology.
Right.
But
that's countrywide.
2 out of 5 people on this table bought it last week.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
It is kind of small there.
But I'm saying, so I think, you know, when people...
large of an
audience. Yeah. That's what I found out.
But it's also, it's a Vertigo book. It's kind of a niche-y book. I wouldn't expect. I mean, you're going to get Batman numbers.
No, yeah, no, no.
Still, but not even a hybrid. Like, that seems...
Mm.
Well,
no. No, that just struck me as odd. That made me think, no, maybe not that many people are using that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would look at, like, the Batman and Superman and see how many people pull that, and then...
I mean, looking at it,
probably,
like, if you...
10,000 for all the Marvel blocks.
Well, did you get Superman today?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that'd be on there. 1, 2, 3, 4. Jeez,
no.
Really?
No. It's not it.
No, that's the combination to Droidia.
Come on. There we go. So, 3,000 pulls.
Okay.
And look, you know, so Detective did $41.99. So
okay.
Suiciders was 2.5% of Detective.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, I will say this. One thing that's kind of funny is when you look at the Comixology pull list page, it shows you the top 10 comics for the polls for the week.
Mm-hmm.
DC is always very heavy on that
okay.
that list. But when you look at, like, national, you know, numbers, DC is not very heavy in that top 10 list. So...
But that might say something about.
I'm interested to see like the demographic.
Yeah.
Well, I'm interested to see like the demographics for who uses the pull list.
Yeah.
You know, function of Comixology. DC stores like it.
Oh, shuck. Okay, so no, I don't really have a rant or anything.
Okay.
Oh, one thing I did want to say: the TV show went up yesterday. We filmed it Monday and it went up Tuesday, so that made me very happy. But I was a little disappointed. No, I was disappointed. Yeah, I guess disappointed is a fair enough word. I was going to have a valiant sales guy, Andy Legal, on this month, and I decided to push it to next month because 4100 is coming, and I figured it would be a better opportunity.
4001.
4001, sorry. I had the right numbers, just wrong order. But, and then a bigger thing to push than anything that was going on this month. I think the one this month is Divinity 2, which is a little more.
When you
niche.
Say 4100, I think of that
yeah.
USA show, the 4100.
Yeah.
From
yeah.
a
while
well,
back. No, isn't it
yeah.
a.
Was that the 4400?
Yeah. Something like that.
So,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
what I still
yeah. Okay.
You know,
he's bringing 300 people.
Okay.
It's closer than he was.
But, no, so I was going to have him on, and he was asking, he's like, you know, just refresh my memory. And so I was telling him about it, and then I sent him a link to it. And when I went and pulled onto YouTube to grab the link, I saw it had 15 views. I'm like, well, that kind of sucks. Just, is it worth doing if only 15 people even bothered to watch it? You know, that's all.
We watch it just to laugh at
you. Right, and that's fine. I have no problem. But it just struck me as odd that only 15 people had clicked on the on the March one.
You can't expect that much now. You just started that show.
I know, but it's just, I just thought
and
more than...
it's not heavily advertised.
Well, I know, but I mean, I put it on the website, I put it on
well,
Facebook and everything, so I just thought
gets,
15 just seemed a little
Well, here's
low.
The thing, though. Like, it gets put on the website once a month,
yeah.
and then Facebook reposts it once a month.
Yeah.
You could always, on a regular basis, like on Facebook, hey, by the way, we
yeah.
have this thing, check
yeah.
out our, you know,
yeah.
comics
it just,
thing.
It just, that just number just kind of struck me as... That's not worth my
you
know,
do it
hour prep
it
and hour
to,
filming for you know 15 people
you,
to watch it.
You gotta,
you know what? I
like
still like
it
better than anything with the Kardashian.
A lot of people
in
don't
it.
See what you're.
How many people are watching it at home though on the actual Bethel
that's
Park
true.
Television?
That's true. I don't
channel.
I don't know.
Does that pick up how many people watch it off your website?
It should because it would just click through.
Yeah.
Okay. Like I watched it yesterday
yeah,
on your
sure,
website.
It's a,
I don't know.
We
can look at the website
okay.
stats to see.
It's
yeah,
an embedded
yeah.
video, right? It's a, from YouTube,
mm-hmm.
so it should still play from this, that same video.
Yeah, it's a YouTube applet.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it just struck me as odd. I was just kind of like, wow. You know, if only 15 people opened the email, I probably wouldn't keep doing the email.
Push it more. You know.
Like, you know, 300
don't
people.
Don't overpush it. Like, don't post
but
it
you
like
also
every
have
hour.
Look at,
post
by you doing
times.
That TV show, you now...
Oh, it helps me
guess,
immensely.
So
oh, my God. As
so
I'm looking through this
watch.
List now of what's coming next week, I'm like, oh, yeah, I talked about that. No, one thing, it probably this one's going to have a little more, because I talked about... one of the books I talked about was the Action Lab, which is their Actionverse, which I think is shipping next week. Yeah. And one of the books was Fracture that Chad Ciccone does, and he posted that to Facebook and whatever the time was. He said, check out 1702 or whatever. So
I'm going to throw this out there. I know it's hectic, and you'll be busy, but why don't you have the dude come in and like film during Free Comic Book Day, talk to people,
yeah.
interview people?
Yeah. You know, yeah, because we're going to film on that Monday. But yeah, I could definitely, yeah.
And that way, you have all these people here that will see him doing that and be like, yeah, what's going on? And, yeah. Oh, yeah, there's a show. Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Plus, they'll think you're famous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As seen on TV.
Infamous?
Infamous.
Paris Hilton's famous for being famous. If it can happen to
that's
her,
true.
It can
that's true. That's true. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Okay. For the same reasons? Oh, man.
You could be a Kardashian.
Short of the sex tape.
Colin thing. Kardashian.
Okay. I have to have a K. But isn't that the brother? I think the brother might be.
What are you talking about?
The Kardashians. There's a Kardashian
Rob,
brother.
There's a brother.
Yeah. There's a Rob.
Not Colin. It's Rob.
It's not a K?
No. It's Rob. I know this because I'm watching the people where O.J. Simpson and the Kardashians are in that.
Well, that's why he's not as popular as all the others.
Okay.
Well, because the dad's name is Robert Kardashian.
Okay. But every other kid's name starts with a K.
And his son is named after him.
Because his mom's name doesn't start with a K. Oh, it is.
Kardashian was signed for himself.
I don't know anything about the Kardashians. I'm sorry. I just know they all start with K.
Watch the people versus O.J. Simpson.
I know how it ends.
Kardashians in there.
Okay, I know how it ends.
They're all over the place.
David Schwimmer is Robert Kardashian. Okay. Fantastic show.
John Travolta is
Robert Shapiro. Yeah.
Courtney Vance is Johnny Cochran.
Courtney B. Vance.
This is a fun podcast. Nathan Lane's in it.
You know that.
And Kate
O'Kalin. Or is the judge?
Ito? Lance Ito, yeah. Should have gotten Jackie Chan for that. I went a totally different direction, like not take this serious at all. And stunts in the middle of it. Back to gavel, have it bounce back and hit him in the head.
We've never lost him this bad.
I think we might have.
It
would have been fantastic if they got the dude that did the from Seinfeld, did Jackie Chiles,
okay,
the Johnny
Cochran
character to be Johnny Cochran in this.
Mr. T could have played OJ.
Cuba Gooding Jr. plays a pretty fantastic OJ.
Cuba Gooding Jr. hasn't done anything in years.
He did a couple things, but yeah, he did kind of fall off.
Like, he was big for a while. He won an Oscar, and then
it was
there goes the career.
Then was Snow Dogs.
He got Snow Dogs. Then he got Snow Dogs.
He's good, though. Like, he's
no, he's a good actor.
That was the level we wanted to get. Oscar, and he was done.
Yeah.
Mike
was like, I actually need a job.
What? What did I do?
I know we got the Snow Dogs.
Get this train back on.
I didn't bring up Snow Dogs.
No, but so yeah, I don't really have a rant.
did.
That was all.
That was your rant.
That was all. Yeah, just starting to gear up. I got my on my invoice or my free comic day books that are coming next week, and it's like, whoo, that's a lot of books. Yes, but yeah, it's a little over 6,000, and that doesn't include what I supplement it with. So.
I feel like you need to use UGG for that in the future, because.
That's what I thought too.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. No, I knew how much I spent. Luckily, when we order it, it broke it down on the order, so I knew exactly how much I spent. 6,060 books.
All free.
May 7th. Be here or be square.
And don't be that guy. Buy a little something too while you're here.
Because, it's not free to me. But,
and not every comic book is free.
Yes,
There'll be tons of cool sales and whatnot.
People are already calling asking what's going on. I'm like,
don't tell them to the last minute, otherwise they won't buy stuff until then.
Well, no, but also normally on Wednesday I don't know what's going on Saturday, so asking me 4 weeks ahead of time, it's like.
But if people don't know you, they don't know that you don't have this.
That's true.
Plan. They think, oh man, he's probably been working on since the day after free comic book day.
Like what Dave does after the 25th?
Yeah. He takes the 26th off.
Well, yeah, I got to put all the free books on sale to get rid of them.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that. Brilliant. Half off. All free comic books.
Not
day after.
Do 70% off.
75? Yeah. Okay. You're generous.
Yeah, you don't want to sit around.
I think, what was it, like 3 o'clock last year? We were pretty much out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
That was a weird free comic book day. Everything just ended like.
Yeah.
Really well, but remember around here, you got the, was it the Great Race or the Pittsburgh Marathon? The Marathon, the same day.
Yeah.
So in the morning, it's real busy.
Yeah.
And then around noon, when the race is over, everybody comes here and they're like, oh, what happened to all the books? Should have been here when it does it. Yeah.
Hope you had fun running.
Yeah. Do you know where the distance from Marathon comes from?
You should have ran to the comic book store.
Wow. Actually, if they ran from downtown Pittsburgh to here, it's less than 26 miles. So,
yeah. You don't know what the free comic book day sales are, but what sales do you have going on right now?
Right now, Josh?
I mean, do you have anything?
I do. Well, we still have the very convoluted alphabet sale. This week is J and W. We already moved a bunch of Walking Dead and blew through my Wonder Woman Earth Ones.
Nice. That's really cool of you to sell off the 25% the day it comes out. Most stores would be like, that's brand new. This sale doesn't count for that book, but you're a real good guy.
To some people. Others, the non-favorites, they get hosed.
He is always to buy this. If you have it on hold or pre-ordered, it doesn't count towards the sale.
I know.
That's why you should never pre-order your book.
No, but that was kind of funny because, 70% of my the Wonder Woman Earth ones were actually held. So I thought I had a lot coming in, and when I went to put them on the table, it was a very small pile.
You'll be able to get more.
Yes, I will have more in next week. But, yeah, so this week
after
it's...
the W sales over.
Right, that's my plan.
He twirls his mustache.
Yeah.
I will say it again. I gave every opportunity for him to not give me that discount.
Okay, so this week it's J and W. Lots of good stuff in J. Justice League.
Judge Dredd.
Walking Dead. All sorts of woes. And then next week we have K and X.
Lots of good stuff in J's.
Yeah. Woes. There's lots of in W, too. So, you want to hit this now? Sure.
Hit what now?
What's next week?
Next week?
And then next week we got K and X. So we always go around trying to come up with stuff. And the guys struggled a little bit this week. So I'll go start with mine because I have two good ones. Kid Eternity. Now, I haven't read it in a very long time. And I actually read it in issues. But that was a Grant Morrison one. Really good Vertigo. What you'd expect from Vertigo. Just really out there. You know, Morrison Vertigo. Yeah, it's going to be a nice normal book. No. It was just really out there, really confusing, really good. I just remember really enjoying it. And then they did a series after that, and I read that for a little bit. It was fun only because I remember Freud was in it, and this was when Sandy was in school and stuff. I was like, look, hon, I got Freud in my comic book. She went, what? And then my other one
I don't care what's your comic book, Colin.
Yeah, pretty much. Nice boobs. Yeah, that's what she considers all comic books are. Yeah. All I do is sit around all day and look at boobs.
So she is. It's all just cheesecake to her?
To her, yeah. And then my other one is Ecstatics, which probably right now is only in an omnibus form. But that is one of my all-time favorite books. Peter Milligan, Mike Allred, just bizarre book. A character, I believe, died every issue, and they didn't withhold. It was, I think, only the main character made it through the whole book. But even at the end of issue one, when they took over for X-Force... It was, I think, 116. It was a whole new direction, and the entire team died at the end of issue one. And it was just one of those, wait, what? And that was kind of set the tone for the entire book. Just fantastic.
It has Dupe.
He didn't die. He made it through the whole thing, and so did the Orphan.
Spoilers.
But then,
tell people to come check it out. And
come check. Well, I'm sorry, but it was spoilers from a 15-year-old book.
Thanks for talking about.
But it one of my favorite all-time books, and really created my love of Mike Allred art, who I really didn't know that much before that. I'd seen like Madman, but it didn't register anything. But after reading this, I just really love his art. So
hey, you know what?
What
good picks?
Thank you.
No problem.
What do you got?
So for me, for K, The Killing Joke. I actually did not read this until recently. I think I read it 2 weeks ago, finally, for the first time. I really, really enjoyed it quite a bit. They're doing the animated film with Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill. Definitely check that out.
And X-Men Battle of the Atom.
Did you agree with Killing Joke about with Grant Morrison about the ending of Killing Joke where he?
Yes. Yes, you know, I do.
I think so too. Now that he says it.
Yeah.
Just because now it's really how
Grant Morrison
wrong.
Knows everything. So.
It, yeah. He, I mean, he taps into worlds we don't know.
That's true. Yeah.
So,
that's a good one. Okay, Dave, what do you got?
Well, I didn't do my exes.
You did. You said Battle of the Atom.
Shut your GD mouth.
Yeah.
Oh.
About the explicit on this podcast.
Yeah, butthurt. Okay. Don't get all butthurt about Battle of the Atom there, Josh.
Well, I'm not butthurt right now. Keep it up and you will be.
Oh. That was a bad choice. Words on that.
Sounded much different in my head prior to saying that.
We're gonna change the seating arrangement next week.
Eeny, not it. Meeny, miny.
I said not it. Not it rules apply.
For my X book, Astonishing X-Men, by Joss Whedon and John Cassaday, they had 4 trades for their run.
I think now it's just down to 2 bigger ones because I realized somebody bought like 5 through 10 and they're all out of print. And I know they republished them in 2 bigger ones.
Well, they were just they were just on trades 1 through 4.
Right, but those 4 are now down to 2.
You mean because Marvel doesn't just want like those Amadeus Cho sauce?
Right. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was
1 through 24 and a giant size finale.
But it was a really good run.
I think 2 years ago, was it 2? Yeah, I took that with me to the beach and I read that.
It was some folks and they had to try and change the image of the X-Men to bolster their public persona. Xavier was off doing something else. It was a really, really fun run. I think, because I was reading when it was coming out, but I think there was like a year break in between their 2 halves. But yeah, it's really, really enjoyable. I think you don't have them over there. I thought I saw you had the 4 small.
I might have. I might. But I know they've repurposed them. That's all. I'm sorry.
That's it for me.
Dave, Battle of the Atom.
Do it. Let me point out, no one ever wrote in to defend Battle of the Atom.
That's true.
Oh. So it must be awful.
Okay, I'll take Kingsman.
You don't have to do it. If you don't want to
take it. I'm going
to
take it.
Just up for pass.
Kingsman. I don't want to do that. We gotta sell some books here. Gotta push some product. Kingsman: The Secret Service, Mark Miller and
watched it, never read it.
Dave Gibbons,
correct.
Dave Gibbons at the art.
Dave Gibbons, you're correct.
Even though I think when the book first came out, it was just called The Secret Service. But
yes.
Now it has Kingsman. That's first K. So you're
Kingsman
good.
On it. And I'm picking this book because Mark Hamill's in it. And who doesn't love Mark Hamill?
He's
Luke Skywalker.
He loves him. His son.
Cut his hand off.
Just to prove a point. Have you never slapped your son's hand? He just happened to have a lightsaber. It was an accident.
It was his robo hand.
Have you ever wanted to cut your son's hand off?
Daily.
There you go.
And for X, Battle of the Atom's my second choice.
Okay.
I'm going to go with X Factor. Original X Factor. Peter David. Ryan Sook. Love the characters, Jimmy Majorox, and
The second series of X Factor.
The second series, okay. Sorry. Yeah, the second series with Majorox has a detective agency.
Yes. So. A lot of that's out of print too. But yeah, very good series. Yep.
Okay. For K, I'll go with Kingdom Come.
What?
Okay. What? Sorry. It's a good Elseworld story. Older versions of the superheroes.
Too dark. It's too dark. Why too is DC got to be everything so dark?
Too dark.
Everything has to be so dark.
Somebody needs to turn a light off.
Sorry. Move on. I apologize.
And for X, I'm going to go with X-Force.
Remender?
Yeah, go with Remender's run. I would go, The Last Execution is actually in 2 parts. It's 2 different trades. It's really good. It's dealing with Kid Apocalypse. His name is Evan. But he grows up to be Apocalypse, and that's their mission is to kill him. And the team is Psylocke, Deadpool, Phantom X, Wolverine, and there's a I can't remember if he's a clone or if he's a Nightcrawler from a different dimension. I think he's from a different dimension. So it's a really cool lineup of the team, and it's a really good story.
My turn. For my K book, it's Kraven's Last Hunt, which we're not sure where it is at this point. But
I have time to get it in for next week.
There we go. It's just a really good story. We were just talking about it. Store. Really dark story. And it's Marvel.
So. Everybody loves the dark. Yeah. Man.
Really dark story. Especially the ending.
Ecstatics was fun, other than the fact that somebody died of it.
Really good ending to it, and really dark to it.
I'm sure panic.
And then, I know everybody's going for, I mean, what can you do with an X? But an X
Battle the
title.
X.
But no.
Do X-Files.
No, I'm surprised they didn't do
X-Files. It's funny, actually, I sold Battle of the M, and I just, every week it shows up on my reorder report. I'm like, nope. It's a $35 trade. I don't really know that I need to get back.
But we here you have like a lot of the X-Men Premiere and Masterworks books. I recommend any that have Claremont as a writer. One in particular I really recommend, I didn't get to see if it was on the shelf, was God Loves, Man Kills.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That was the basis of X2, wasn't it?
Kind of, yes.
It was kind of based on that, but it's just a really good, it's based on one of their graphic novels that they
guy is a preacher.
Yeah.
Okay.
Instead of a...
instead of Stryker.
Stryker. He's a preacher and God Loves, Man Kills, yeah.
Yeah. But it's a really good book. That's it.
That's it. Okay, the other store we have, or the other sale we have going on.
You have another store?
I do not. I do not.
Calling Secret Stash.
Doesn't sell common.
No, I had a dream, I don't think it was last night or the night before, where I was driving past somewhere and I saw there was a store for rent and I felt compelled to go in and they were working on it. So I stopped in to ask how much it was and stuff. I think it was like up in Mount Lebanon somewhere. And it's just like, so that was in my, so maybe it is a sign that I need to open a second store.
You comics too.
Yeah.
But do you have any, it'd be closer, do you want to open a store in Mount Lebanon?
I've seen Bridgeville. Yeah.
Aw.
You're on the podcast. I'm sorry. No, but yeah, so it's just funny that that was, but no, I have no desire to open a second podcast.
Second store. You said you have another month-long sale going on?
Yes, and Josh actually pitched this one live during last week's podcast.
I did
podcast. But it's...
I demanded it. So
he did, he did. He said all Boom and Black Mask trade paperbacks. I do have, I think, I know at least one Black Mask coming back in. Space Riders is coming back in next week. But yeah, for the whole month, that is double points on all Boom and Boom Studios and Black Mask.
Yeah, I believe that there are quite a few books in those publishers that you yourself quite enjoy.
Oh, absolutely. Maybe Six Gun Gorilla.
Mm-hmm. We Can Never Go Home.
Two of my all-time favorites.
Kaboom as well.
Yeah. And Archaea. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be broad.
Yeah,
broad interpretation.
Yes, yes. So that's what we got sales wise. Who wants to start talking about last week's pitiful, very small selection of books?
Not a lot of books that I read.
It was minuscule. I can talk about the two I read.
We'll do it.
Why don't you start?
I'll start. Okay. I did Captain America, Sam Wilson, because it was, you know, something very big happened. It was a double. It was a big double sized book. I didn't read all. I read the front story. I think there was some reprint stuff in the back. I didn't read that. But I wanted to see, because basically, Cap is back, and I wanted to see what happened. And it's kind of in the middle of the Avengers standoff story, so it didn't.
Wayward Pines.
Yeah, exactly. Wayward Pines story, where it wasn't. I wasn't completely lost. I had a. There was. They did it. Whoever was writing it. Did a good job of getting you kind of up to speed so you weren't completely lost with what had gone on before. But I was a little disappointed by the end because it ended up where Cap, Crossbones shows up, he's fighting Cap, and Cap basically starts talking about, I know I'm going to die and stuff. And then all of a sudden, little Cosmic Cube girl, the little girl made of the fabric of the Cosmic Cube, or made up from a Cosmic Cube fragment.
Oh, 50 Sue.
50 Sue reaches out and says, do you want to be a hero again? And reaches out and touches him, and now he's young Cap again.
So a little girl reaches out and touches Cap?
Yeah. So it was just a little disappointing in the sense that they kind of wrote themselves into a corner. What? They wrote themselves kind of into a corner and kind of got, I felt they got out of it a little bit cheap. And it, even Bucky's like, oh, I was wondering when you'd be back. It's like, really? You assume someone who loses a super soldier serum and ages to his natural age is going to come back?
Well, Bucky knew there was a movie coming out, so they couldn't do them all.
True.
So they're in the 616. Anything can happen.
No, it's not the 616 universe anymore. Oh, wait, but it is. But it's not. But it is. Ah, sister, my daughter, my sister.
I thought he was from West Virginia.
No, that's from Chinatown. Come on, man.
Sorry.
So it was okay. It got him back, and we're back where we wanted to be. You don't know that quote? Have you ever seen Chinatown?
A long time ago, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
Faye Dunaway?
Yeah.
The girl she's protecting the whole time, and Jack Nicholson finally confronts her. It's like, she's my sister, and he slaps her, and she goes, she's my daughter. Yeah. He slaps her again. It's my sister. It's my daughter, because she was. It was her sister and her daughter.
Sister-daughter.
Because she got raped by her daddy.
Yeah, we figured out the logistics of it.
I mean, you look really distraught right now.
I'm just saying. I just can't. I thought everybody knew that. I'm sorry, I'll never say it again.
It's a good movie. It's an old movie. I saw when I was a kid.
John Huston, Jack Nicholson.
Yep.
It's really good.
It's all about water.
It is. And the other one I saw was a Black Mass book called X'd, and it was number 2. This had been a really long delay, but basically the main idea behind it is there's this company that if you have a memory that's so bad, they can actually remove it from your head and make it so that you have no memory of it. And this woman wants, I think it's like...
Eternal
sunshine.
Yeah, but they do it, you know, for a price and stuff. And the first one ends with this guy going in and all of a sudden getting attacked in her memories.
Quaid, start the reactor.
So then this one starts, and he's still in there, and it gives a lot of his backstory and why he does this, because he was kind of, he was military, and when he came home, very bored, wasn't happy, and when they called for another mission, he was quick to go, because that's when he felt alive. And then he kind of got blowed up, so he couldn't go back and do it, but doing this, like, I think he's missing his legs. In, when he's doing this, he's not, because he's running around in the memory, killing whatever the memories need to be. Well, it's a lot of his backstory, and then also a lot of this lady's brain trying to get rid of, I think it's her brother. She's trying to get rid of the memory of her brother, because he's like just a bad egg and something bad has happened. I forget, because number one, they had this big gap, so I don't remember specifically. But it has him going into her psyche and all this, and he has to protect her, and they, like, he goes down into a part that they're not supposed to go. It's like the core of their personality and stuff. And then basically it was interesting because it ends with the people sitting around the body, because there was a big fight in her memory, and she dies. And they're like, how do we get him out? Because now this lady's dead. So, and that's how it ends. So it was interesting. It's very, you know, very, yeah,
sci-fi.
Out there. Yeah, very much so. But it, very good. I enjoyed it very much.
Good.
So those were my 2 books I read from last week.
Okay. Well, I'll go next.
Okay.
Aquaman, number 50. So this is the second issue with Dan Abnett on it.
Who's continuing on.
And I believe Brett Booth was on art on this. I'm pretty sure Brett Booth was on art in this issue. It was good. It was not quite as fun as the previous issue, where Aquaman was taking, you know, some of his like core group to be amongst the humans. And well, I guess, are the Atlanteans technically humans too? They're just different. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So be amongst the land dwellers, where they were at this carnival and kind of experiencing things for the first time. But this we had. The embassy, they established, Atlantis established an embassy on land, so that way they could further relations between Atlantis and the dry, you know, the dry land nations. Mira is going to be overseeing the embassy, and she's going to be having her first press conference to really, you know, see what their intentions are, what they're all about. And they're talking about how they have to kind of like brand themselves, so that way, you know, they have a unified look, and it to tie it back to Aquaman in Atlantis. So she's wearing similar, you know, armor that he wears.
I saw that. Yeah.
goes by the name of Aquawoman in this, which some people had a problem with because they felt like they took Mera, who's a pretty, you know, awesome character and right, and made her kind of a derivative character by calling her Aquawoman.
She mentioned it, like, I was thinking about that, too, because I saw that, yeah, that quote on there, and I could have sworn, like, an early Geoff Johns run, she was having issues with people referring to her, yeah, as Aquawoman, yeah, in the book. So,
but I think she's also come a long way from the early Geoff Johns towards, like, she's more comfortable with her role now as being, you know, his equal and his partner with Atlantis. But she's about to do this press conference, and at the same time, Aquaman becomes informed about this killer, Deadwater, who people are assuming is tied to Atlantis because it's an aqua-based or water-based threat. They're finding people that are just, you know, dead anywhere where there's water, but not necessarily near a body of water. So it could be a glass of water, it could be a pool. Like, one guy looked like he was torn apart by a shark, and he was next to a pool at the top of a like skyscraper in New York. So they're trying to figure out what's going on, and it's this, you know, killer Deadwater who can kind of transport through the water and just, you know, materialize from any sort of water source and is killing people. So Aquaman says to hold off the press conference until he can go deal with this, and in the process finds out that it's just a man that, you know, somehow transformed this killer and takes him into custody once he gets him back to, you know, human form. And so he's taken into custody at the embassy, not, you know, turning him over to the police, but making sure they know that, you know, they're free to come and investigate and do research on him as well. So he's trying to further that whole, you know, open communication, open lines of dialogue between, you know, their nation and the rest of the nations and governments. And at that point, whenever he resolves that, then they have this press conference. And it just, it really shows, with all the complaints people were having about her take on this Aquawoman character, the scenes with her in the press conference really show how strong of a character she is and how she is, you know, playing to the crowd and handling this whole situation of being this, you know, ambassador to the...
She's a great character.
She's a great character. And I really like what, you know, what Abnett is doing with her in this role he's giving her. I mean, I get the arguments about, you know, giving her that name. It's almost derivative. Makes her sound more like a sidekick. But she's not being played off that way. She's being played as a very powerful character who, mm-hmm, you know, she was for a long time, you know, handling things from the royal level in Atlantis. Now she's handling things with relations with the land nations. I mean, she's, you know, in her own right, she's a strong character, and she was, you know, playing to the crowd and being very charismatic and, you know, joking and just establishing what the status quo is going to be. And it's fun. I hope this continues into Abnett's run after Rebirth. So it was good. It was really good. It's a big change for Aquaman the past two issues, and it's a very welcome change. So.
And it makes you more hopeful for the next, yeah, incarnation.
Yeah,
it's
very hopeful. Black Science, number 21. This was a fantastic, like, revenge issue. So we have Grant. He built this ship that, you know, has the pillar built into it, so the ship can jump between dimensions. And he is tracking beacons within the Dimensionaut suits that his original, you know, crew were wearing whenever they made their first jumps from their dimension. So he's trying to find all of them, gather them together, and then jump back home. He also is finding out that through their jumps, they've been kind of tearing these small holes through different dimensions and having a greater impact. And he knew that that was a possibility when they first embarked on this, but he didn't take into consideration that there were also going to be an infinite number of pillars out there because of different dimensions and infinite versions of himself that could be creating this and doing these jumps. So the risk has grown exponentially. So he tracks down another beacon, and the first one he found, it was a dead body within the beacon. The crew member was gone. But he finds this one, and it was Rebecca, who was his partner on this project, and he was also having an affair with her. You know, Grant's married with kids, but he was, you know, sleeping with Rebecca, and it seemed like there was more to it than just this affair. Like, we found out through some backstory that she is when it really pulled him into working on this project and working for this organization that's kind of headed by this guy who had been backstabbing and stealing things from Grant for a while, and she convinced him to come work there to get back him from the inside. So he finds the suit and finds her dead body in it, but then discovers that the dead body inside the suit is actually the Rebecca from that dimension, not from his dimension. So somehow the Rebecca from that dimension ended up in the suit that the one from his dimension came from. So we then start seeing jumps between their, you know, backstory and what's going on in the present with Rebecca in this dimension. We found out a couple issues ago that she's the one that sabotaged the pillar in the first place, but we didn't quite know exactly why. Well, I guess her brother had died in their dimension, and she had been trying to find a dimension where he was still alive. So when she found this, she killed her doppelganger and assumed her life. You know, she started playing wife to that Rebecca's husband, mother to that Rebecca's kids, and reestablished a relationship with her brother in that dimension, and just trying to, you know, pretend like she had been that person all along. And Grant discovers this and decides to, you know, get back at her for, you know, sabotaging the pillar and essentially destroying his family, which, I mean, he blames her for. I mean, he's at fault too, but he blames her a lot. So instead of just, you know, finding her and you know, taking her with him, he makes sure he informs every single person. So she goes to visit her brother to have dinner, and her brother, you know, opens the door and starts screaming at her. Then he knows, you know, what's going on. And so Grant's informed him. He informed her husband, the kids. So suddenly everything she's built for herself in this dimension is kind of falling apart. And then he just leaves her that way. Like, he just, you know, once he's ruined everything, then he just takes off, and she's begging him, you know, to take her with him, because she has nothing left in that dimension. But it was kind of cool, because this Grant, you saw in the past few issues, he's trying to turn over a new leaf and not be such an asshole like he's been to everyone throughout this series. But he's still, you know, in his effort to do good, still, like, slip back into that, you know, a-hole persona to really, you know, give someone what they had coming to them. And it was really well done, especially the way they did the flashbacks and the telling the current story. They did it in a way that really worked out well. The only thing I wasn't sure about is the flashbacks. I didn't know if we were seeing flashbacks for that dimension or their original dimension at first, but then, like, halfway through it started to become a bit clearer. But it's really good. It's been a really good series. This is one I think in trade probably reads great, but the single issues have been great. The art by Matteo Scalera has been phenomenal. It's him and Rick Remender on it. Faith number 3. So this has just been a fun book. It's issue 3 of 4, and they just announced that it's actually going to become an ongoing book starting, I think, June. So it'll be a regular ongoing monthly title. But this miniseries, it's a really, like, fun, lighthearted book. She's been investigating these disappearances and murders, and somehow they're tied to, like, this sci-fi TV show that she's a fan of. Doesn't really know why. She's working for this kind of, like, I don't want to say tabloid, but some sort of news site. Not a, you know, like a CNN, but more like a, trying to think of what a, like, tabloid-ish type news site would be.
TMZ?
Yeah, like TMZ, something like that. And these guys who are working with this organization that's been taking these people and experimenting on them come to where she works, and she's going by a different persona. She's in disguise. She doesn't want people to know, you know, who she is at this job. And they come there, and they're looking for Faith, and she's hiding out in her boss's office with her, and then she's trying to decide how she can get out of this without giving up her identity, and then finally just decides that she can't, so she just, in front of her boss, you know, takes off her disguise and decides to just confront the threat as her superhero persona. So it results in everyone, you know, that was there at the job finding out who she was. Some of them want to immediately, you know, run a story outing her. some are, you know, pushing against it, saying that they have to help her protect her identity. Not a whole lot happens in the issue. We find out more about who the threat is, and it ties back to the Vine, who have been a big threat in the X-Men Manowar books, and in Imperium, the Vine have been involved. They're this alien race who have also had, like, these hybrids that have been planted on in the Earth to kind of blend in with the humans. But they're behind this, you know, taking of these potential psyots. But it's been just a fun, you know, I guess I'll say feel good. It just has a lot of, like, you know, little pop culture references. They're really playing up the fact that she's, you know, like, such a big, you know, fangirl with the, you know, nerd and pop culture. It's been good. I think the ongoing series, it's by the same writer, so it should, you know, have the same feel as this. I'm curious to see where they'll take it with the, you know, larger story as opposed to the small focus story, but it I think it'll fit well into their lineup. And then Omega Men number 10. So this was just a very brutal issue. This issue is kind of documenting the war after the confrontation after the meeting in the previous issue where the two sides were kind of trying to come together to negotiate that fell apart. So we have the Citadel who's going up against the Omega Men. The Omega Men destroyed this planet that the Citadel had already wiped out all the inhabitants on the planet and had been mining it for this material. I think it's called Stellarium. That's used to stabilize planets to prevent the same thing from happening to other planets as what happened to Krypton. And they can only get it from these planets in this Vega system. So the Citadel, you know, wiped out the population on this one particular planet and hid the fact that everyone was dead while they just kept mining this Stellarium and selling it to these other, you know, other planetary governments. Well, the Omega Men destroy this planet to kind of force the Citadel's hand, saying, now you don't have access to the Stellarium anymore, and if you want to get it again, you have to, in public eye, you know, make a move against another planet in the Vega system. And we're seeing all these other planets in this Galactic Council that are kind of almost endorsing the Citadel to do whatever they have to do to make sure they have access to this material to keep their planets safe. So we're seeing on one planet in the Vega system, the Omega Men and the inhabitants making a stand against the Citadel. We have Kyle Rayner, who has his white Lantern ring back, who finally has to firmly be on a side in this war. So he's with the Omega Men, but he's clearly very conflicted about it, about having to, you know, kill through these battles. He clearly wanted to find a way for both, you know, sides to, you know, negotiate and find some sort of peace, and it hasn't happened. And it's having a more and more of a strain on him. Towards the end of this issue, he kind of just wanders off on his own and looks, you know, very defeated almost. So it'll be interesting to see how they wrap up in two issues and what happens, because whereas the Omega Men are kind of reveling in this, you know, these victories, he seems to be slipping further and further away throughout all this. But it was really good issue. Two issues left. And again, if you haven't been reading this in single issues, pick up the trades. It's been a very cinematic book, and I think with the collected edition, it'll read much better than the single issues did for anyone that started off and thought it was a little bit slow. That's it for me, because I think the other one we both have, and I'll save that for you.
That doesn't matter. You can...
I already did four. I'm done. Okay.
Daredevil, number 5.
I read it.
Did you read that?
Yes.
This is the final.
Got 40 fingers?
Yeah, it's the final issue of the first arc with our favorite new villain of 2016. Ten fingers.
It was a villain of another decade.
So 10 fingers, yeah. So the hand is attacking
This issue gets better, so...
It's a little better, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The hand is attacking. He's 10 fingers.
The hand was attacking 10 fingers.
The hand
fingers.
Is attacking the fingers.
Right, that's where, like, that's what I was talking about. The hand was attacking the fingers. That's what I thought was funny.
They have this... The hand has this half-dead beast who's infused with magical energy, and his name is the Fist. He's also there. Causing havoc.
I feel like I've seen that character.
And then the thumb
before.
And the wrist show up.
Yeah. Followed by an arm.
And they basically make the entire arm.
And then the kerples. Yeah.
And then there's two arms and then two legs and then a head. It becomes Voltron. It's really weird after that.
Now we start on the Voltron. We're talking about that.
And Ten Fingers has locked his congregation in this in their building. Because he wants them to see that he's their savior. And he can save everybody. Except he doesn't.
Yeah.
So he's Father Gabriel.
Not exactly. Father Gabriel at least wanted to save them, but he feared saving them. This guy had no plans of saving anybody. Really.
But then something attacks Ten Fingers.
We don't know what it is.
Know what that is.
He doesn't just attack Ten Fingers.
He's, like, strung up on the side of the wall.
He cuts off his hands and feet.
Yeah.
He's dead.
So
like,
no fingers.
He's not even attacked. He's dead. Like, yes. No hands, no toes, foot. No. I don't understand why all these things were...
Yeah, Daredevil and Blind Spot saw that, and they said...
Cut off more things than Michonne did, you know? Yeah.
They said, that's no fingers, and they laughed and had a jolly laugh because of that.
This book hasn't been bad. I don't think it's...
This was a little bit better, I thought.
It's just not a very good start to a brand new series. Yeah. It's having a villain that they've created called now he's No Fingers. Called Ten Fingers.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem... It doesn't have that feel that Mark Waid's did where he was going after, mobs and stuff like that at first. And, you know, as it went, it just... it just was a better series. This isn't starting out that great, but it's not... A bad read.
I thought this was a little bit better.
At least it feels like Daredevil, where a lot of Marvel books right now, I don't think, feel like they're supposed to. So, it has that going for it. I don't know if that was a good read on that or not.
So, I think I think Elektra is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which we should have known was going to happen, really, because they can't be creative on their own. They have to, take something from the television.
So, what is the deal with her now in the books? Is she?
I haven't seen her for a while.
I haven't seen her for a while. I don't know if she's alive.
She had that series last year, but
But if she's alive, I don't know when she was brought. Well, I know when she was brought back, but I just don't remember. Like,
she's been around for a while. She was she had that series a while ago, and then she was in Thunderbolts in the last run.
Yeah, that's right. She was in Thunderbolts.
Right.
Because she wears red. Apparently, everybody in that one had to wear red.
Yeah. They called it the Red Team. That's what they should have called it.
Okay, next book, how about Darth Vader?
Yeah, I read that.
Number 18.
It's not as fun as it was.
No.
I think the book did better as an Aphra book.
I think the book is losing a lot without Dr. Aphra.
Yeah. And now she's in Star Wars, but she's being written by... Jason Aaron.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't... He's not writing her, like... who does write Star Wars?
Kieran Gillen?
Yeah,
Kieran Gillen. Yeah, that's right. Just doesn't have that same feel to it. I think it needs to go back
fact she's not even in the book.
But it's more than just her being missing.
It's not a very interesting story.
This arc has not just been...
Yeah.
It worked well, I think, in the annuals on one shot, but I just don't care enough about these people that you know, their whole planet can be destroyed. They could be Alderaan, too.
Well,
I wouldn't care.
It's Vader, he's assassinated the royal family, installed this young girl as the queen, and to get the ore, and the ore barons are rising up. And they even haven't even really showed these ore barons... To make you care about them or their planet or their way of life.
They showed them in that, like, when the... I don't even... That's another thing. When you can't remember these characters, it's just... I don't remember what the guy is, but he's the guy who's training all these kind of Jedis for... Yeah. Or not Jedis, kind of Sith for the Emperor. He came in during their meeting and offered him a deal, and you kind of saw him there, but... again, like, why do I care about these characters who I've hardly seen?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
hardly have been in the book.
Yeah.
You know, you don't. Not the best of arcs for this. This book kind of,
no,
it has been hurting since Vader Down.
Yeah.
I think Vader Down really was a bad idea. And that happens too much with Marvel for them not to figure out that when you guys put out an event like this and it crosses over and ties in, it kills all the books that they were tied to.
Well, I think it would have been okay had they gone back and told a story related to what they originally were telling.
Yeah.
But...
Well, they're trying to conclude the story dealing with these not-Sith that have, like, the twins now. They have Admiral, what's his face?
Admiral Ackbar
Spider. Ackbar's, yeah, whatever that was. So you had those characters that they were trying to deal with, and now I'm not interested. I was more interested in the Admiral Ackbar Spider guy, like you were saying.
Yeah.
The most because interesting he was part was different. Was the droids.
Now, yeah.
How about this crazy idea?
What was he doing? What was his plan?
How about that crazy idea BT has?
A blood engine.
Of a droid that runs on human blood. Yeah. So we can...
That's his plan.
So we can fuel up on the battlefield.
He pulls out, like, his finger turns into a syringe, and he's like, let's drain these in blood, and then we'll put it into there. And Darth Vader's like, don't ever bring that up to me again. Like, and he walks off. So, there's your character, like... They need to do something with those characters. Oh. This needs to lead to something with these droids because they're the most interesting part of the entire book.
Yeah.
So do something with that. But
but
still, it's better of the Star Wars books, but that's not saying a lot for the Star Wars. I think these Star Wars books have got to be hurting now because if the one that was doing real well...
I don't think they're hurting.
You don't think so?
Numbers-wise, I don't think they're hurting.
Quality-wise, it might
be... It's temporary, though. I think... It's going to be tough for these books because I think the popularity generated... It was generated because it was coming back to Marvel, but not only that, because they had movies and it was the big talk.
There's been so many issues in such a short amount of time. And when did this book start? Like last
fall? Last January, yeah.
How are your numbers in Star Wars?
Down. Not down, but...
Yeah, I can't see it like...
Dropping.
Going crazy, but it's got to be dropping a little bit. They need to do something with it a little better.
That's why we got Poe Dameron today.
Yay!
Yeah, no,
he's your favorite.
He's everybody's favorite.
Yeah, he's got... they should just
he had a really cool jacket.
His robot was more in the movie than he was, his droid.
Jughead.
Yeah.
Jughead.
You're calling Adam that. That's not
cool. You're a Jughead.
You're a Reggie.
He's a jerk.
Jughead number 7. Did you read that, Adam?
Yes.
Okay.
I
liked it.
It's
I really liked
boy.
It.
It's
Jughead
not
is
my figured, favorite of them.
Jughead has figured out that all the teachers, the principal and all the teachers of Riverdale have been replaced by Principal Stanger. And it's a secret agent training camp now. That he's figured out that this is what's going on. So they want to find out more about Principal Stanger. So they go to this issue, they go to the neighboring town, which is Sunnyside.
Of course it is.
Because they find out he was a principal there. And they talk to some kids who knew him. And they all turn out to be, like, doppelgangers with the opposite sex.
Yeah.
So Archie is Andy. Betty is Benny, and Jughead is Crowns, with a Z.
Of course it has a Z.
Of course, because that's cool and hip.
Yeah.
So they find out, you know, he did the exact thing in this town, and he even, and his plan was ended with the Halloween dance where he brainwashed everybody, and the Halloween dance is coming up in Riverdale. And he also closed the malt shop in Sunnyside. So Jughead is horrified by this.
Well, Jughead doesn't pay any money for anything when he's out either, so he's just shutting that place down on his own. Art-wise on this book, I just can't stand the artist.
Erica Henderson.
Yeah. And she just the look of the characters, like Veronica came out on this one. I was like, that does not remind me of Veronica at all. Yeah. Especially reading the new Archie book, and that Veronica looks more like what you'd expect Veronica to be. It's just really weird art. All I can think of is Squirrel Girl when I'm reading it, because half of them have the buck teeth. So she draws the teeth. It's not because it's a Squirrel Girl. It's because that's how she draws teeth. I don't know what's going on there, but the story-wise is good.
The most disturbing part of this issue, though, was Reggie makes out with his with his doppelganger, Regina.
It's just there's a lot of crazy stuff happening in Riverdale, sunny side.
Okay.
One thing I like about these books, all of these books have a classic issue in the back, and I think that's just a cool addition to have with it. Because how much are these books? How much are the Archie titles?
I think four.
Are they four?
$4, yeah.
But you're getting a little bit extra with it, plus the story. And the extra old comic always has something to a little bit to deal with.
Yeah, I mentioned that last time, because in the previous issue was a story with Jughead's cousin or something.
Yeah.
But I forget what his name was. It was a funny name.
Yeah, I forget now, too. Was it like a little kid he was like?
It was funny. I read the backups, the stories in this one.
Uh-huh.
And it was, in the text page, Chip Zdarsky was making fun of how in the issue Jughead needs a new pair of pants, and he just goes through the door of the store and announces, "I need a size 28 in pants." Like, who does that when they enter the store?
It's funny. Colin gets pants, right?
But yeah, like,
running.
Police.
That church.
I read. I'm going to leave this one for Adam, because you read The Turtles, didn't you, Adam?
The Deviations.
Deviations. I read the last Deviations, but I'm going to leave that for Adam to talk about.
Okay.
And that's all I have.
Okay.
Pat?
We'll start with Suiciders, Kings of Hell-A.
How about that birth scene?
Yeah, that was...
I wasn't expecting it.
No.
I turned that page, and I was like, what? Oh.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same way. At first, I'm like, am I looking? Yeah, that's what that is.
That's a woman laying in rubble with a head coming out of her.
Crowning.
That's how it happens.
Laying in rubble?
Well.
What kind of hospital should take Sandy to?
Yeah.
Hospital?
Kabul General?
We had the old fashioned.
In our day, there were no hospitals.
Out on a farm, you say, get some water and some blankets.
Life finds a way.
Yeah, exactly.
Jurassic Park toy, I love it.
Yeah, so this is expanding.
This is following a different
path.
Yeah, group.
What it looks like, it's kind of explaining how the world came to be, if you will.
Yeah.
The female main character was born the day of the quake.
Mm-hmm.
And then
her brother was a few years before the quake, but he doesn't remember.
Right. I think she said he was 4 or 5 and she doesn't remember it. So, you know, as we see them again as, let's say, young adults, maybe, you know, 16, 17, the youngest, and they're in a gang, the Kings of L.A. And they're getting ready to have a turf war with another group who all look like Demolition from the WWF back in the day with, like, the black leather hockey masks, and it's really weird. And then they go into a pawn shop, which reminded me of Zed's from Pulp Fiction, complete with the samurai sword.
Yeah, they wanted to buy the samurai sword. And the dude that ran the shop was a retired suicider. Like, he used to be one of the gladiators, and that sword was from when he fought.
Yeah, and I guess he was, like, one of the first ones.
Yeah.
Because his armor looks like football pads.
Yeah, which he must have been good if he's still alive.
Yeah. So it basically ends with this old guy, you know, going ape and you know, killing a bunch of these rivals of the Kings of Hell-A for destroying his shop.
Yeah. It was a cool issue. Like, I liked as they were showing snippets of them growing up and showing how they kind of became a bit messed up to the point where they would be in this gang. We're getting to see how this world kind of fell post-Quake as well, and how it just kind of kept devolving, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, and it definitely... It looks like things went downhill quick.
Yeah. That was pretty brutal with the what happened to their dad.
Yeah.
Right after he got the car fixed up.
So, you know, very different, at least from the first arc, but interesting.
And Libra Mayo, man, he's incredible. Like, he's a solid writer, and his art is just...
Really gorgeous.
It's fantastic.
Very detailed.
It's very kinetic. Like, every panel just looks like it's just oozing with energy and action. And it's just, it's really cool. It's very impressive.
Batman and Robin Eternal.
I liked this issue.
I did too.
There were parts of the ending I didn't necessarily care for.
So this was the finale to Batman and Robin Eternal.
Yeah.
Right.
Cassie Kane is now the new orphan, but she's a hero, and I thought the conversation she had with Batman was very after school specially. Just a little too much. Whereas the talk that Harper had with Batman, I thought was very good.
Keep in mind, she is much more childlike, though, than Harper is.
Yeah, I guess that's true, too.
So I think that plays into it a lot. She almost reminds me of, like, mentality-wise, reminds me of Strix, that Talon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who is kind of, like, very, you know, adolescent in her, you know, in her mind. Like, she's a badass.
Yeah.
But, you know, mentally, she's very adolescent because of her, you know, what she had to deal with in her history. And I think the same thing with Cassandra. So I give that a pass, you know.
I get that, but that, you know, the Harper was very much, if I want to be a hero, it's because I want to be a hero.
Because Harper's the exact opposite. Because of her background, she's had to become mature
very
quickly.
Very strong and
be the parent figure.
I think a lot of Batman's been kind of talking a little softer with people since he's come back. And I think he's taking on kind of a new way of doing things. And I think that also has a lot to do with that. How he talks to people just seems a little different. How he talked to Dick Grayson and that. And he seems more accepting. And he's trying to be more accepting of who tries to help him and not, you know. I like that part when he was just like, I think that was him where he was just like, there's certain things you're not going to change about him and stuff like that. But when he was talking to Dick, but a lot of those were really, I liked it. I really did. I liked the conclusion. I loved this series. I thought it was a good series.
Yeah, it was a solid finale. I think it did a good job of firmly establishing, like, the Bat family at the end of this.
Yes.
And I think that puts them in a good place going into Rebirth, because a big complaint when New 52 started is that all these like ancillary characters in the Bat family weren't there, and what was their purpose and how would they fit in? And this kind of really gave them all purpose and gave them all a place, you know, moving forward.
I think they did that really well, to tell you the truth, with establishing the Bat family again, that you didn't have that Bat family that we had for how many, you know, for a couple decades. We had that family, and it just, people kind of accept it now, especially in the comics, that it needs to exist. And I think they did it right with, like, bringing it out. Like, I never liked what they did with the Robins at all, early New 52, but how they've kind of, we don't hear too much about that anymore, but they're going to come back with all this.
Well, but that's what I like.
They were brought back very well.
It was it was like a celebration of the legacy of Robin. And you could see how, you know, each of the four Robins were very different. There were similarities, but how each of them kind of brought a different aspect to it. It
showed that without Batman, they were able to accomplish something.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
in order to do that, they couldn't work by themselves.
They were working
a lot by themselves until they finally put it all together. You know, and that separated them from Batman.
Well, yeah, because it showed that's why Batman failed, is he tried to just do this all on his own.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing about this book, is it just had all those little connections to it that Batman, you know, you saw that Batman couldn't do this by himself. You saw at the end when he tells Dick, he's just like,
you've always been better.
You've been better at this because of, you know, how you do things. I can never do it the way you did it. And, it was just good. It was a really good Bat family book, and we haven't had a Bat family book in a while.
Yeah, and a really good ending for Harper. I don't think they could have ended Harper's story in a better way than having her like fully choose her path.
She knew she was going to. That's the whole thing with Mother when she was sitting there trying to like persuade her to come over to the dark side, basically. And you knew throughout that she wasn't going to.
Right.
Because of the flashbacks and everything about her mother. What was she going to actually choose what her mother said? And I think that makes her a really strong character. And I think it's going to make her an interesting character as we go through. And hopefully they do a lot more with her.
Yeah.
So.
And then the last one I got is JLA.
Yeah, I read that.
I wasn't a fan.
I've heard a lot of people say that.
Yeah, it's an issue.
So I kind of like how they got around the whole Ra'al being all-powerful thing by having Parasite, using Parasite to attack him to drain his power. Yeah. I thought that was good. I like how Parasite is like, oh, well, you told me I'd be free, and Batman's like, I lied. I thought that was pretty good. But generally, I just haven't gotten on board this JLA, and it concerns me that Hitch is going to be writing Justice League after Rebirth. But, you know, maybe it's the strain of writing and art. I hope that's what it is. But this just wasn't that great of a JLA story.
No, it's... It's kind of confusing, actually. There's a lot going on in the story.
A different time periods.
And then it had that weird Martian Manhunter book in the middle.
Yeah.
And I think it's just made it even more confusing. I still don't really know anything about these stones.
Yeah.
Like, they haven't really summed that up, which I guess maybe in the next issue there are, but it's just like, okay, we have time traveling over here. We have, you know,
Dimension hopping.
You know, it's just like, and then, you know, in this issue, he runs into, like, Green Lantern is, I think it was this issue that Green Lantern was walking with Ra'al from the past. Okay, but still, it's just like, where is that, you know, and then he meets the one from the future, and is it this one? Is that where he's coming from, the stones? Is that, it just, there's too much going on in it. It's just not structured very well as a story. But.
That's what I got.
So, I have, if I can get to it on my phone.
Poorly prepared.
Yeah, that's okay.
Like, he didn't know this was coming. He didn't know he was done.
I have.
Yeah, we're there's someone else. That came out.
What about the guy in the fridge?
I have Fight Club 10.
You loved it.
Final issue of Fight Club. I didn't hate this book. This book is really going to need to be read again. And it would read as a better, hopefully, I'm going to say hopefully as a trade. The last issue kind of went just crazy at the end. And I was kind of expecting it to sum up what's been going on, like, in the book and how it all connects at the end. And in this case, it kind of did, but then all of a sudden it kind of broke the fourth wall. The writer was in it, and, you know, they were talking about ending, how to end the story the right way and this, and they all joined. It was weird. It's hard to even explain. I can't explain how this book, you'd have to read it, and it just was odd. And I expected odd, but I didn't expect this crazy, like, of an ending. And it didn't, for me, it didn't really end at all.
because it didn't connect to the story, and it all of a sudden went to this breaking the fourth wall thing, and then kind of, you know, did its own thing at the end, and I don't know where it was going. So, not to say it was bad, but it wasn't, it was hard to understand, so. And I have, TMNT Deviations. After everything I've said about all of these Deviation books, I like this one. I thought it was a better what-if story kind of deal. It takes place, I've never read the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle books, but supposedly in one of the books, Shredder goes after Casey Jones, and I don't know if he kills him in that book.
I think he said he did die in that storyline.
Okay, yeah. That's what I thought it said at the beginning of it, but yeah. I wasn't sure exactly. But he kills him, and instead of Leonardo, I guess, in that book, becomes evil. He's, like, possessed by this... Like, they put a... This witch character puts a spell on him. In this case, in this deviation, it's all of them get this spell. And Splinter is trying to break them free of that. And he goes after Shredder... Or Shredder brings him there. It's whoever their soldiers are at that time. I don't know. It was the Turtles. The Turtles brought him there. He tries to fight back. He has a plan. He was kind of wanting to be brought back there. At the same time, you have Casey Jones' father wanting to go after Shredder because he killed his son. Yeah. So he forms his gang back together, and they go after him. And then it just basically all hell breaks loose in there, and they all start fighting. Splinter is able to break the spell by going into this spiritual plane that this witch is using to possess them. He's able to stop her, break them free of the spell. But in the midst of all this, basically everybody is dead. So when the Turtles are broken out of this, everybody's dead, and they're the only ones left.
Yeah.
And it was good. It wasn't bad. The art stayed true to, you know, the Turtle books. I don't know who the artist is currently on Turtles, but it looked like a Turtles book, so it worked.
Yeah, I thought the art was good in it, and
fit
the story and everything.
I thought it was a good what if. I think they should, if they ever try to do something like this again, it's the final Deviation book. If they ever try to do something again like this, I think they need to take a page from.
Should they do another thing like this?
No, I don't think, because I don't think they'll get it right. I don't know what else they do. Like,
it's not a high bar. It's not admittedly, it's not a high bar, but then you think this was the best one of the Deviation. You probably think that, too.
Yeah. And it's not to say that this was an amazing story, because it wasn't. But for what they were trying to accomplish with a what-if story, it did it.
Right.
Where the rest of them were just too, you know, whether you had Ghostbusters or... what was the other one that was really goofy? G.I. Joe. It shouldn't have been a goofy story.
Yeah.
It absolutely was, though.
And it absolutely was. And it was just like, where are you going with this? This isn't a what if. Like, what if, you know, G.I. Joe was goofy? Like, it just didn't make any sense. I didn't mind Transformers. Transformers probably my second favorite of this. And X-Files, I think, was just... didn't need to exist.
Yeah,
it just was,
that was
dumb. So... Yeah, for something I really had high hopes for, because I thought it sounded like an interesting idea, because I like what if stories. In this case, you know, being a different kind of publisher, Marvel usually does this, so I was wanting to see, okay, what do we got as a what if for these type of stories? The topic sounded kind of interesting, with Ghostbusters being, you know, what if they didn't cross the streams? Okay, that could be interesting. They just didn't go in that direction. With it, so it was not interesting at all. But
stop at the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
No, that was just like, what? Like, what are they doing? So, but yeah, this one was better, a lot better. Not like a great story, but as I said, it accomplished what it needed to do. So interesting. It's readable, very readable.
Deviations 2 coming this fall.
Yeah. I hope not. I think they should just put a pen in that. But that's it. That's it for me.
That's all you got?
Yeah. We already talked about it.
Okay.
Well, what's coming out next week, Colin?
Yeah.
Pretty prompt.
What's happening?
A couple things of interest, but we have ANA number 2.
Yay!
A-Force number 4. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. number 4. All New, All Different Avengers number 8. All New Inhumans number 6. All New X-Men number 8. Now, here's a problem. Last week, my All New X-Men number 7 were all damaged.
It isn't so.
It is. I haven't gotten my replacements yet. But I got All New number 8 coming next week. Yay!
Yay.
That's going to sell great.
Well, at least they put the recap page in.
Yeah. Amazing Spider-Man 10. We got Amazing Spider-Man and Silk Spider-Fly Effect 2.
Oh, that's great.
Autumn Lands Tooth and Claw number 10. Badger number 3, Dave.
Stop badgering Dave about this.
Baker Street Peculiars number 2. Batman Europa hardcover. That's going to be a nice looking hardcover.
Yeah.
Batman Superman number 31 Super League. I read the first part of Super League for today. That was good. Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 5. Black Road number 1. This is a new one from Image. This is a Brian Wood. It looks more like in the Northlanders vein.
Oh, awesome. I haven't heard about that one at all.
Real quick. Yes.
Super League. Is that the one that's starting Superman today?
Yeah.
So, is this one of those ones where you have to buy all 4 of the books?
Probably. Yeah, they're even putting the little number on the front. But this first one was good.
What's that book called again, Colin? The Brownwood book? I'm sorry.
Black Road.
Black Road. Okay.
The Captain America 75th Anniversary Magazine. That's a freebie. So I will have those. Darth Vader number 19. I know you guys are giddy with excitement. DC Previews is coming in next week. So I only have 300 of them, so get it quick.
How much?
Free.
Free?
Free.
$3.99.
Free.
That's such a nice service you offer.
Thank you. Well, they're free to me, too. So, Deadly Class number 20. Doctor Who ninth Doctor number 1. A whole lot of free comic book day books.
But you can't get those up.
Not next week, but they're coming in. Goldie Vance, number 1. This is one from Boom. It's basically, it sounds like it's it's a new, like, teenage girl sleuth type book.
Like a Nancy Drew.
Nancy Drew, and I'm singing, what's that other one? Harriet the Spy, I think. Spy. That kind of vein, I get, it looks like. Green Lantern by Geoff Johns Omnibus is coming out. Also, the Green Lantern Core Edge of Oblivion. Gwenpool, number 1. I know everybody's excited about that.
Yay.
No, Edge of Oblivion. Lost
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said the collection.
No. Sorry. Gwenpool number 1. Harley Quinn and her Gang of Harleys number 1. Heartthrob number 1. This is the only one. This was really good with a girl. It's in set in the 70s. She gets a heart transplant, but the donor was a thief, and he still has all these. He still has all these heists that he wants to pull. So all of a sudden, she feels compelled to do stuff. She doesn't know why. She's always had a heart problem. I read this on the plane to Portland. Okay. They sent me a galley, I guess is the best way to put it. Just an actual physical copy. But it wasn't a comic form. It was more like a big piece of paper. But she just said, you know, she's always had heart problems, so she's very low-key. She just has this boring office job she hates and everything. And then she gets a heart transplant, and all of a sudden she feels alive and is doing all these weird things that she never did before. And then as she's sleeping, she's having this conversation with this guy and eventually realizes
that's
the soul or whatever of the owner of the heart. So that was interesting.
Owner of a lonely heart?
Could be. And it's neat. It has a McKelvey cover that's the cover of Fleetwood Mac Rumors. And it's the two characters. But it's McKelvey who does a great job. And they're good. Another cool thing. Well, another. I wanted to show you with this. Too many papers. A&A, they're sending me free copies of the second print of number 2.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
So that's nice. And on this one, they're sending me free copies of that second variant because they want to make sure everybody has them, which I think is really nice of them. Hot Damn is coming. This is one from IDW, and it's basically what if hell is like a therapy that you can't get out of. So.
Okay.
House of Penance is one from Dark Horse, which is like it sounds like a classic haunted house type story. Sounded good. Jackpot number 1. I don't know what that is. But I ordered 5, so it must be somebody good that I ordered enough of those. Last contract, number 4, that one's wrapping up. I got to get caught up on that. Mockingbird, number 2, where they're matching my order to number 1. Moon Knight, number 1, is finally coming out. It feels like we've been hearing about it forever, but we probably haven't. But
yep.
Wow. Okay, good. I'm going to say nothing on this entire page. Samurai, number 2, that James was a big fan of. I never got number 1 back in, so I haven't read it. Spider-Gwen, number 7, which is tying in with the Spider-Women series that started today.
Yeah.
Spidey, number 4, that one's doing very, very well for me. I know you're pushing that on a lot of the kids coming in wanting a book. I know you've been leaning them towards that. Believe it or not, the Star Wars C-3PO special is shipping next week, finally. It's only supposed to come out when the movie came out.
It came out on DVD yesterday, so.
Yeah, so good timing. Wonder Woman 77 special, number 3. X-Men 92, number 2, because number 1 was all of last week, so I love these when they ship them so quick. And Xena Warrior Princess, number 1. That's from Dynamite. That's shipping next week, so. Lots of goodies this week. I will definitely have lots to talk about next week, as I've already read 7. So, I'm not done. So, I'll do more than my 2 this week. That was a poor effort on my part. I didn't even read that X-Men 92, which sadly is not my target book, as I've seen an episode or two of the TV show, so I don't...
College in 92?
I was out of college in 92. I graduated in 90, so...
He was quiet about it. It picked up on the mic.
I graduated high school in 99.
Okay.
High school.
Yeah.
High school. Okay.
We're also young, though.
Well, okay, 99. Okay, yeah, I graduated in 85. Okay.
You took that fifth year option in college?
I did take a fifth year option, yes, I did. I took a semester off. Things were not going well.
That's okay.
You met a woman, didn't you?
No, this is actually meeting the woman actually got me to graduate because.
Oh.
Yes, yeah. It was the semester before.
It was drugs?
No, I was just bored. I did not. It wasn't even that. I was totally bored.
Prostitutes? Those lawyers
doing
prostitutes.
Did you have like a problem like in the graduate? Like.
No,
his problem is women's never brought his money.
I was bored.
Comics?
Not really. Not so much. Just bored.
You get to be comics.
It was, when you're an econ major and all you're taking are kind of statistics classes and things like that. Really. Because I went to school, you guys are learning all about me here.
Yeah.
I went to school with no idea what I wanted to do and went into business, because you should go into business. Okay, so I was in the business college, started in accounting, realized really quickly that if I had to do that for the rest of my life, I would. I would not be around very long.
That's exactly what happened to me.
Is it? Okay. Yeah, it was depreciation schedules, and I realized as I was doing that going, oh, no, I will not be doing that. So I didn't know where to go, and then actually got out of business because I didn't do well enough, and then I'm like, oh, well, econ is also liberal arts, so okay. So, long story,
And then law.
And then law school, yeah. It did me real good. Actually, I was reading a case the other day, but... just for fun. long story, I'll get into off the podcast.
Where can they find you?
Yeah, I don't even know how we got down that path. I'll have to listen to that again. How the hell? Good.
It was.
Good. Oh, because you said I was old.
Did the prostitutes come out? There were no prostitutes.
They came in the door.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Never mind that. So where can they find you?
In hell. No.
Hot damn.
You can always get a hold of me at the store, websites, pittsburghcomics.com, Facebook, Twitter. You can find me everywhere. So
everywhere?
Everywhere, yeah. Although I was out of the store for an hour today. That was on a Wednesday. It was really nice. Yeah, he was busy, but Katie had a softball game. So.
Did she win?
No, they got crushed, but she caught a fly ball. I was so proud of her because I don't know if she has or before or not, but I don't think so. I told her a really good job.
She said no hugs.
No hugs. She's like, not your dad. my friends are watching. That's what she said.
podcast, Colin.
Thank you. We will talk to you next week. See ya.